Reading from Genesis chapter 19, verses 14 to 26. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters, who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand, and the hands of his wife and his two daughters, and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to him, "Very well. I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. But flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." This is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah, from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew the cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Let us pray. Dear Lord, let us listen to and follow the words that we've just listened to, the words that we will hear in this sermon today, and let us not hesitate, let us not doubt your word, but accept it and try and apply it to our lives in the coming days ahead. Pray that you will give us an open mind and allow us to take in this Mass today, and to follow the words that we will hear during the sermon to come. I pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
When I complained to my wife about the weather in Canada, the weather in Canada in the winter, she will ask me, "Why didn't you ever choose to come to Canada then? Why didn't you go to Florida or some hot country?" And I will say, well, after making a little joke saying I just came here to meet you and get married with you, I would say I came here because of the great opportunities. And because I knew that Canada is a very prosperous, industrious country, so I made that choice. Many of us have made choices in life, and some of our choices have been good, and some choices have been bad, and some choices have been disastrous. Well, Abraham and Lot were together. And Abraham turned to Lot, his nephew, and he said, "Okay, we have come this far, now we have to sort of make a choice, choose where we will settle down and live." So Abraham said to Lot, "Okay, you choose, and if you go that way, I'll go the other way, and if you go that way, I'll go the other way, but it's your choice." Now Lot didn't say, "Well, you are my older uncle, you choose first." He says, "Okay, I'll choose." And he looked around and he looked around. He then saw that beautiful city, he thought, big city, all kinds of activities. Maybe the terrain was flat and nice. And he says, "I'll go there." And Abraham said, "Okay, you go there and I'll go this way." So Lot chose to go and live in Sodom near Gomorrah. And so that was the beginning of Abraham and Lot when it comes to our history. Now, Lot had been in trouble before, and God had saved him. Four kings came, attacked Lot and took whatever they had. They stole everything there was, and they even took Lot and his family and took them away. All their food and everything was carried away. When Abraham heard that this nephew or his nephew had been taken captive, he took with him 318 trained men and went after the kings to rescue him and his family. But Lot continued to live in Sodom. Now, you would have thought maybe Lot got the message and he would say, well, you know what, I don't want to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. No, although I enjoy all the music, I enjoy all the lights and everything, but maybe I should go closer to my uncle or whatever. No, he went back to and lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then we read this story this morning. Once again, now Lot is about to be rescued from certain death. God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but he remembered, the Bible says, Abraham and his prayers, and he sent his angels to rescue Lot and his family. Genesis 19:29. But Lot hesitated. The word hesitated, lingered, or the Greek word is evradinen. In Armenian, there is a nice word, dundanats or dundanar. So that means he just hesitated to go. Why? Because he could not disconnect himself from all the activities and all the good stuff he thought he was attached to. And so he was reluctant to move. So someone may say, what, are you going to talk to us about Sodom and Gomorrah this morning? Well, to be honest with you, people have been talking to me about Sodom and Gomorrah in the past week or 10 days, telling me that, Pastor, what do you think about the world situation? What do you think about immorality? What do you think, all these things that are happening? And I would say, well, you know, God's judgment is about to sort of come unless we change. As we read in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name do what? Repent, confess their sins, and pray, then and turn away from their evil ways, then I'll forgive them, and I'll bless them, and I'll heal their land. And so we see how things may change. That is, by removing ourselves from the evil that we are attached to. So yesterday I was reading the paper. I picked up the paper and there was a big article. Well, long enough article. It says, and again, I'm not trying to attack a particular denomination, but this is the paper, okay? It says, cities, top Anglican stands behind gay unions. And then it continues, just a little couple of lines. It says, the head of the Montreal's Anglican Church plans to bless same-sex unions despite suggestions, suggest a two-year moratorium following a meeting of Canada's Anglican bishops. Now, is he the only one? No, there are a lot of people who have been blessing same-sex marriages, and a lot of people have been sort of trying to convince other churches and other leaders. As a matter of fact, the Southern Baptist Convention had to go through a process of making sure that they take a stand, and they did take a stand, and so did the Canadian Baptist Convention of Ontario and Quebec had to take a stand to oppose that. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because Sodom and Gomorrah just didn't happen. Sodom and Gomorrah did not just drop from heaven or hell and became Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah started by little changes here, by little tinkering with the Word of God here, and by a little compromising there, and by sort of liking what they tried. They tried this. Oh, it tastes good, feels good, smells good. Why not? God is not going to get angry. And then they ended up being the most pervert and corrupt cities in that history, in that time. Now, we just read that Lot hesitated. When Lot hesitated, why? When it was time for decisive action, he hesitated. Sometimes we know what is right and we know what is wrong, but we hesitate. If I do this, what is going to happen? What will my friends say? Well, I like this, really. I really enjoy doing this. I really enjoy going there. And God says, this morning we were studying in the adult class, that we must have self-confidence. And then we said also that we should have self-control. And what it means also means that we must connect to God and remain connected and not disconnect every time we want to do something there. And then come and want to reconnect with God again, and then we go back and do. It doesn't work that way. You either connected to God or disconnected. And when you are disconnected, you pay the price. When his godly uncle was praying for him, he was hesitating. As a matter of fact, we just read in the previous verse that, and God remembered Abraham who was praying for his nephew. Now, how many of us pray for our relatives? And how many of us pray for our children daily? And how many of us we pray for our friends? And sometimes you may think that, oh, is God listening to my prayer? And already I've prayed. Sometimes I'm tempted to say this, Lord, you know that I've been praying for 10 years for this person. I better just go and start praying for someone else. Well, you see here it says, God remembered Abraham praying for his nephew, and he sent angels to save Lot. When heavenly messengers were urging them to go, he hesitated. He hesitated. When the Holy Spirit urges us, convicts us, and says, don't do it, we say, okay, I get the message. I will stop doing it when, and we set a date. We set a condition. We explain to God. We tell him why we can't do it right away. Or we tell him it's going to get better, so you'll see, God. No, God sent angels to Lot and his family and said, get out of here. And they said, no, well, I don't know. When judgment was about to come and destroy the cities, he hesitated. He could not believe, maybe, that God is going to destroy the entire city of Sodom. Somebody said yesterday, we were talking, and he said, they don't believe in God, but those who commit these sins, they call them with a name that fits, is taken from Sodom and Gomorrah. Hesitate. He did not say no. He did not say, I don't believe you. He did not say, I'll stay here. He did not say, I'm enjoying this. But he hesitated. That one moment of hesitation may cost your life. I always tell my grandchildren, I said this before, maybe I'm saying it less now, when I would say to Joshua, for example, Joshua, do this, and he would say, why? I would say, don't ask why, just, and I'll tell him a story. And now every time I want to say, I know the story about the boy who was playing on the railroad tracks, and his father said, fall down, or just come on, whatever, throw yourself down. And he did not say why, because he just did. And then the train went over him and he was not killed. One moment of hesitation may cost your life. It could be your spiritual life, but it could be your physical life. When he knew better than to hesitate, just the same, he hesitated. He chose riches over righteousness And Lot chose a city to stay in, the city actually in the beginning, which was going to be destroyed now. J.C. Ryle, commenting on Lot's hesitation, he said, "Lot was slow when he should have been quick, backward when he should have been forward, loitering when he should have been hurrying, cold when he should have been hot." Why Lot hesitated? Because he made a wrong choice early in his life. And because he got hooked on the way these people were living. And because his choice was based on physical attraction and wealth or whatever. That's why he hesitated in the beginning. He made the wrong choice. Then he found his fellowship with sinners enjoyable. And you know what, these days, the problem parents have and the problem true believers have is separating from the world. It's telling your children, please don't do it. They will say, why? What's wrong with that? And because they are already hooked to some things, they will have a tough time separating themselves from that. In the electronic business that I am in, and for the visitors, I am bivocational pastor. I have my own business and store, and I'm a pastor at the same time. So my wife and I run a business, and I come across heavy-duty magnets. Now, there are little magnets that you can do this, and it just pulls a little. But there are strong magnets, and sometimes I'll have two huge magnets, two big speakers, those huge ones with big magnets, and once they attract each other and get stuck, it takes two people to pull it. But as long as they are far enough, there is no problem. Now, when you start bringing these two magnets closer and closer, you got to put more force to stop it, and all of a sudden, they get stuck. And go and remove those two magnets. Well, that's how it is with our lives in this world. There is nothing wrong with food. There is nothing wrong with entertainment. There is nothing wrong with sport activities. There is nothing wrong with whatever. But it becomes a big problem when we are attracted so much to these things and we get hooked to food and drinks and alcohol and smoking and sexual immorality and sexual things that attract the mind and the body, and then you get so hooked that you know it's not right, but you cannot disconnect. And you say, boy, you talk like my grandfather, you talk like the old evangelist, and somebody keeps telling me at the Bible study, and I'm not going to mention the name, Pastor, if you know the truth, you better tell it. Absolutely. And knowing the truth and not sharing it will be sinful. Now, what do I know that you don't know? Nothing. You know everything I know about sin. You have experienced it. You may be experiencing it now. You know it's bad for you. You know that God doesn't love you, doesn't love it, but He loves you. You know that to disconnect from that relationship, that thing that has bound you and chained you, is very difficult. But this morning in our Bible study, we said that with God's help. Do you know what happened yesterday? We were working on the door with these three men. Helping these three men over there. And I said to one gentleman, what are you, French or English? He says, I'm Irish, Scottish, and French. And I'm an alcoholic. I didn't ask you. I said, what do you do? He says, no, I got to share this every time. I said, why? Because he said, 7 years ago, I stopped drinking, and every opportunity I find, I share it with others that I am an alcoholic who has stopped drinking. I said, how did you do that? He said, at AAA, Alcoholics Anonymous, not AAA, not that car thing, Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, so you had the courage? No, he said, it was a supreme power. I said, what kind of supreme power? He said, God. And I was very happy to hear that. And he shared with me some things. And you know what? He said, I could not have done it alone all my life. Adult life, I've been drinking, and I was an alcoholic, but then 7 years ago I stopped. You see this coin, he said, I got this one after 5 years of going to the AA meetings. And he said, every day I put my hand in my pocket and I hold and I say, I'm an alcoholic, I gotta be careful. Well, you know what? We can have a coin in our pocket. We don't have to have it. And that says, reminds us, you know what? I'm a Christian. You know that what? I am a believer. It looks very exciting, but I can't do it. Why? I have the free will, precisely because you have the free will. He found his fellowship with sinners enjoyable. You know what? It's true. The person who does drugs, for a moment he feels good. The person who gets drunk, maybe he feels good for a moment. The person who cheats on his wife or husband, he or she may feel good for a moment, but then that Holy Spirit, that the conscience starts working, and that moments of pleasure becomes an eternity of pain. His treasures and interests were all in Sodom, the world. And it seems that many of us, many Christians, all we think about is this world. Often we forget where we're going. We're always thinking about our journey, the train, the aeroplane, the life that we're living, but we forget about the destination where we're going. He felt he was too old to start all over again. Sodom was home. He actually felt at home, Often people use their age, their denomination, their religion, their culture. Well, I can't go. I was all my life Protestant, Baptist, all my life Catholic, all my life Greek Orthodox, all my life Muslim, all my life this. Now, even though they see the truth and God speaks to them, they cannot disconnect from the past. Many are hesitating today like Lot. They know more of the truth than they live. They believe in heaven, but they make their heaven here. They know time is short, but live as if it will never end. They build their lives around things below and forget about the things above. They say they understand the battle, but they enjoy and spend more time with the enemy. I want to repeat this. They say they understand the battle, but they enjoy and spend more time with the enemy. They say they love Christ, but don't live for Him. God does His part to keep us from destruction. God keeps visiting us, calling us, warning us of enemy and imminent danger. Jesus died and rose again to rescue us from eternal death. The Holy Spirit, like the angels who rescued Lot, the Holy Spirit is rescuing sinners by convicting them of sin and need of repentance. God's servants plead with people to believe and be saved, but it seems that people don't care. There is a list of people in my prayers that I pray every day, people who I love and I would like to see them saved and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes after praying for so long, I'll say, Lord, is there a chance? Is there hope for this person? Well, God does the same thing. He sends the Holy Spirit and convicts us and encourages us. But many people are so attached to the world that they can't even think straight. Just remember Lot's wife. Even though she left the city, her heart was still in it. And she fell under the judgment of God. Jesus used her as a warning to all who hesitate and ignore his offer of salvation. In Luke 17, verse 32, we read, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife? Or maybe I should put an emphasis and say, remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Lot's wife was saved from eternal death. Lot's wife was brought out of the fire. And she said, one more time, I just want to look. And people say, well, do you believe in that story? And do you believe that she became salt and all? What I say is, really, I did not analyze that thing. I don't know what it was. But I know that she lusted. And Lot and his daughters won. And they were saved because they followed the angels or followed the instructions. Oftentimes we hesitate. We say, okay, I'm going to disconnect from this activity. I'm going to disconnect from this relationship. I'm going to change. I'm going to stop doing this. But one more time, one more glass, one more whatever, pill. And that's the last time a chance was given to this person. I'll just do it once again. And then go to church. I'll go home and pray. And that last time is the time that you had an accident. Oh, you had an accident. Someone had an accident and dies. Someone had gets some kind of a terrible disease. Some kind of the family falls apart. A divorce. A terrible sickness. One more time. And Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Stop hesitating. Neither time nor death nor judgment hesitates. Decide for Christ before it is too late. Have you decided yet, or still hesitating and lingering? Jesus used a very short sentence to warn us all. He said, remember Lot's wife. Even though the angels brought her out and her family to safety, she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. It is easy to condemn her, but isn't she like many of us? When Christ has our full attention, everything changes. We need no longer look behind us at what we are missing or whether we made a mistake by following Christ. In our spiritual journey, we must focus on what is ahead, not what it used to be. Our past may be full of sins, or maybe a lot of excitement, but we turn around, and as Apostle Paul says, forgetting what is behind, I'm straining, I'm stretching out. And that's why at the end of his life, he said, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for warning us. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for your love and your compassion. Millions, Lord, have turned their backs and have walked away from them. And yet you still love them. You still love the sinner, the fornicator, the adulterer, the drug addict, the thief, everyone. And you are willing to forgive and give eternal life. Thank you.